Message and song, amen. Well, we have a treat tonight. We have one of our missionaries with us, and actually we have two missionaries missionaries to Mexico with us tonight. Most of you certainly remember Brother Humberto Gomez, and we appreciate the fact he got in and had a service over at the Spanish department early before they got over here. And he's going to preach to us tonight, and I'm going to ask him to come on up at this time, Brother Humberto. I'm going to let him introduce the brother. He wrote his name down for me, but you know how meticulous I am about names. And I'm not going to approach saying it because I'll mess it up. I am the worst on it, brother. You have to forgive me anyway. But Brother Humberto, you can introduce him for me, and we're glad that he's with us. Most of you keep up with the news enough to know Brother Humberto's down in a place where they chop your heads off now, where the dope gangs are shooting it out in the streets. He's had even some of his family kidnapped and held for ransom. I hope y'all praying for him on a real basis, but he's getting the job done, really getting the job done. And of course, with the Spanish Bible that we had something to do with here, he's been a real blessing to us on that, and I see God's hand on it, what God is doing. It's been tremendous. Brother Humberto, good to have you. They get you wired up. Now that thing will let you, all right. Got you fixed. Okay. God bless you.
Bless you, preacher. I don't know if it's on. Yes. Okay. Good evening. Es una bendición estar aquí. It is a blessing to be here. Amen. 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 I'd like to say this. Dr. Carter, my English has not improved at all. I think I'm going backwards. Thank God in heaven we'll speak Spanish. Amen. 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 Yeah. But, let me introduce a friend. Okay, do you mind standing up, Brother Ray? This is Ray Villarreal, missionary in Mexico, out of Texas, and he is in Aguascalientes, Zacatecas. Jalisco, the state of Jalisco, and this man is a champion of the faith and a champion for the purity of the Bible. Amen. Great man, and it's an honor to have him. Thank you, Brother Villarreal. Amen. Amen. And let me introduce over there, I got my wife, stand up, Imelda, and two of my daughters. Where are they? Imelda and Abigail. Amen. Oh, amen. Okay. Let me say this. Preacher, I was honestly, when I called and I was trying to reach you, mainly, I just wanted to come and give a report of what God is doing. I was not even expecting to preach, but thank you. Thank you for the privilege. I mean, I consider this a great privilege to be standing in this pulpit. Amen. Let me just briefly give a report, and more than give a report, from my heart, and I guess Dr. Mickey Carter knows, I'm not a politician, and so what I'm going to say it from my heart. I thank God for Dr. Mickey Carter, your pastor, I consider my pastor, for being a champion for the book, for the Bible. And Dr. Carter has paid a tremendous price, taking a stand not only for the purity of the Bible in English, but in other languages also. And my respects and what a privilege for me. Thank you, preacher, for taking a stand for what is right. I don't know what to say. Let's just briefly let me say that God has blessed our Bible, our Spanish Bible. And by the grace of God, last month, we reached the 1 million copies of our Bible. Yeah. 1 million. Yeah. And, you know, it translates to the salvation of many souls, people getting saved left and right. And I want to thank you, Dr. Carter, and this church for supporting this Bible issue and helping us print our Bible. And I would like to recognize also Brother Chad McMillan with Help Ministries. Just this group here, Landmark, Dr. Mickey Carter, Help Ministries. At least I will say a couple of 100,000 of those Bibles have been printed because of these two ministries, this church and Help Ministries, the churches that support them. So thank you. Our Bible is in every Spanish-speaking country now. We continue to grow, and we have never seen as many people saved as lately, when we have a Bible now that the message of heaven and hell is clear. Just last year, I had the privilege of seeing, under my preaching, easily over 3,000 people that came to know the Lord. I have seen the growth of all our churches, and several new churches started. Let me just, you don't mind if I give a little bit of report, and then if I get to preach, it's fine. Our ministry in Mexico, I cannot begin to tell you how God has blessed. In the middle of all that violence, all the crime, God continues to be honored. People still coming to Christ. Every single church that I know of is growing, and several new churches started just this past year. And about 3 years ago, I went to preach a conference, Bible conference in Paraguay. The first church in Paraguay that embraced our Bible, our Spanish Bible, the RBG. Brother Mike Wilkes is the missionary, young man, but what a man. Loves God, loves souls, loves the Lord, loves the Bible. And I took my wife with me. We had, that week, they were having an attendance of about 60, 70 people. That week and during the conference, and it was a Bible conference, it was about the Bible issue, we had about 70 adults that got saved. Amen. Amen. And then the following year when I went back, the church was running about 250, and three churches had started out of that church. Amen. I'm going back this year in October. Preacher, please come to Paraguay with me. You've never seen anything like it, I'm telling you. Now they have six churches. They have already started a Bible Institute with about 45 students already. And God continues to bless. This year I went to Peru. I went to preach a Bible conference in Peru. When I went to Peru, the missionary, Brother Dan Rich, right a couple of weeks before I got to Peru, sent me an email. One of the missionaries in Peru sent them an email. It was a little bit in the nasty side. So he was disappointed, and I asked him, I say, do you want to cancel the meeting? Because they knew I was going to come, and then the news began to spread all over. Humberto Gomez is coming to have a Bible conference in Peru. Don't go. He's a heretic, and on and on and on and on. You won't believe what they say. Our own Christian brethren. There was a time, preacher, that the men of God, especially independent fundamental Baptists, stood for something. Yeah. Lately, it seems like everybody's becoming a compromiser. Yeah. Very few willing to take a stand for what is right. Yeah. I didn't say all, but most of them. Honestly, I'm disappointed. And with many of them. I say this because you will like what I say later. Peru, you see, when the news spread out, don't come to the conference, the missionaries will tell the Peruvian pastors not to come to the conference. And so, to make it brief, all that criticism promoted our meeting more than anything else. And they came. It was about 50 Peruvian pastors and missionaries that came to the meeting. And they were expecting something ugly. We preach and preach, and the Peruvians began to cry and cry and consecrate their lives on the altar. And before you know it, we had a tremendous meeting. People saved every service, and the morning and the afternoon and the evenings. We baptized several of them, and God blessed tremendously. The final day, there was a room for testimonies, and one of the Peruvians, an old man around, well, not too old, 65, I'm younger than that, you know, but he stood up and said, he had a hard time talking, and with tears he said, "I thought God had left Peru already." He said, "This meeting brought sweet memories. About 30, 40 years ago, the old timers, the missionaries will come, and they simply will give their lives for our people. And they work with us, and they went 100%. Seems to me," he said, "like lately, all we have is a little tyrants that come to tell us what to do and not to do, trying to control our lives, and there's no God." And that man just wept and wept, and he said, "It's been a long time since I've been in a service like that." One of the missionaries, young Peruvian, got up and said, "My missionary told me not to come. But he said, I had to come." And then he said, "And the reason why I had to come is because I had never seen a three-headed monster. And I wanted to get to know you." And that's what he said. Wow. Before the meeting was over, out of the 40-something, close to 50 Peruvians, about 40 of them embraced our Bible right there on the spot. And they say, "This is what we've been waiting for a long, long, long time." One of the men, an older Peruvian, told me, said, "Brother Gomez, will I be wrong if I don't embrace the RBG right now, but take it with me, take a few copies, and talk to my leaders? You know, I've been a pastor there for 40 years, and I don't want to make a switch suddenly. Will it be wrong with me?" And I said, no, it's totally perfect. Totally perfect. This man just called me, and he says that they're setting up a Bible conference for Peru next year, and he expects to have around 300 Peruvian pastors to come to the meeting. And God continues to bless. I say this, Dr. Carter, thank you for helping us in this issue. It was a dream come true. We waited for a long time. For many years, we say, why the King James Bible says this, and why our Bible says different? Why this is omitted in our Bible? And happened when we checked the old Antigua Bible, it was pretty close to the King James Bible too. But through the years, the Bible societies began to introduce the critical text. We love our brethren that oppose us. You will never hear Humberto Gomez writing any articles or saying any bad thing about them. I love them. As a matter of fact, I still support some of them that used the 1960. And it is my prayer that somehow God is going to wake him up and take a stand for what is right. Some of them don't know any better. My disappointment is with the ones that know better. That's my disappointment. Just passing through, I'm on my way to Puerto Rico. I'll be preaching in Puerto Rico. Oh, hermano, Mojica. Look at those Puerto Ricans over there. Amen, amen. Man, I don't know what to say. I better say nice things about Puerto Ricans, amen? I'll be there 2 weeks. I want to come back alive. Amen. Yeah, but we're taking several Bibles and a few books, and we're taking the message of salvation to Puerto Rico. And that's, to my surprise, there's about 8 missionaries in Puerto Rico now putting these meetings together, and I'll be in different churches every single day for 2 weeks. We'll be preaching in Puerto Rico. What can I say? God's been good to us. I can go on and on. Suffice it to say, God has blessed His Word. Let's open our Bibles. Preacher, about 15, 20 minutes will be fine, or a little bit less, whatever is fine.
Another 25 minutes if you want to.
Okay, he says 55 minutes. Okay, good. He should have said it in Spanish and I would understand it, amen? Okay. About 20 minutes. I'll give you 20 minutes. And let's all stand. Matthew 27. Honestly, I have this message written in Spanish. Normally, I write my messages in English. And I thought I would just give a report, but thank God I have the privilege to preach a little bit. Matthew 27. You know, the Lord Jesus went to the cross at Calvary. And I love to preach around the cross. I said it before. I know you hear me saying it. I will say it again. Not even in heaven I will see the majesty of Jesus as I see it in the cross of Calvary. What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen.
Matthew 27. You know the whole passage, so I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll get into the message. Verse 42, the Bible says, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He be the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Let me use the three words, the first three words of this verse to bring a message, and I title it, He Save Others. What an expression. He Save Others. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. And thank you because, no pun intended, this is a landmark in the Bible issue. Thank you for this place, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for thy servant, for our pastor, for our champion. Thank you, Lord. Now help me to deliver this message with simplicity. Give me preaching grace and English grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I will say 99% of my messages, I title the messages straight from the Bible. And I titled this message very simple, He Save Others. Here's an expression that came out of the mouths of the enemies of Jesus. They were mocking him. And they said, ha ha, look at him. He saved others. Himself, he could not save. Part of it was right. He could have saved himself if he wanted to. It's a matter of fact, I know there's a song and there's a Bible verse that he could have called 10,000 angels. But can I say this? To come down from the cross, he didn't need no help of no angels. He could have come down by himself if he wanted to. But he came not to save himself, but to save you and I.
Amen.
He saved others. The enemies of Jesus say these words. They did not know, preacher, that God was going to give me a message on those words. If they would have known, they would have shut their mouth. But they say, he saved others. What a statement. What a expression. He saved others. First of all, let me say this. This expression is an expression of admittance, of recognizement, or recognition. Like it or not, this man had to admit that the Lord Jesus had saved others.
Amen.
Wow. They had to say it. He saved others.
Amen.
It don't matter how atheist a person might be, or if he doesn't believe at all, and if he's an agnostic, they must recognize that the Lord Jesus has saved others.
Amen.
I wonder who they had in mind when they say, he saved others. I wonder if they had in mind a man from Gadara. They used to live in the tombs. They was running wild, naked. But one blessed day, Jesus came by, and the Lord changed the life of this man and saved him. He became a new man. I wonder who they had in mind when they say he saved others. Maybe this gathering possessed by the devil. But the Lord Jesus delivered him and saved him. I wonder who they had in mind when they say he saved others. I wonder if they had in mind a Samaritan woman. A woman that used to live in sin. And she got married and divorced and married and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced. And finally she was sick of it, that she was just living with another man without getting married. And this woman, one blessed day, came to Jacob's well. And when she came to Jacob's well, the Lord Jesus was waiting for her.
Amen.
And before you know it, the Lord gave her the living water.
Amen.
And she drank it, and her life was changed, transformed, and
Amen.
She became a holy woman, a soul winner that almost brought her whole town to the feet of
Amen.
Christ. I wonder who they say, who they had in mind when they say, he say others. Even the unbelievers must admit that my Lord has saved others.
Amen.
I went to Africa. I remember walking there. There was a guy that was helping us go to different places. And this man was a Muslim. And I saw this man and I say, Lord, please help me. I want to witness to this man. And I began to tell this man about Christ. And the man was very cordial. And he began to say, oh, yes. And I began to tell him, sir, you know there's a hell and there's a heaven? And he said, yes. And then I said, you know that there was some man named Jesus that bled and died in the cross of Calvary for you to go to heaven? You don't have to go to hell. And that man kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And then after many things that I began to witness to him, and he kept saying, yes, yes, nodding his head. Finally, I stopped and I say, sir, I hope you are not confused. I'm telling you about the living Christ. And he says, yes, I know. He said, well, I said, probably, I thought maybe you be misunderstanding and you'll be thinking that I'm a Catholic priest or something like that. I'm preaching you the truth. And this is what the Muslim said. He says, I know you're not a Catholic. And this is what he said. Because if you was, you will not be talking to me about Christ. Wow. Even this Muslim knew the difference that Jesus makes when he comes into the heart of a person. Secondly, this is an expression of admittance, but this can also be an expression of gladness. He saved others.
Amen.
This can be an expression of gladness.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm not alone in this business.
Amen.
Let me say this again. I'm glad that I'm not alone in this business.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm not the only one that has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing it is to know that there have been many others that have been saved and have been washed in the same blood that I've been washed.
Amen.
I'm glad that he has saved others. I don't care where you go. You can go up north to Alaska, all the way south to Argentina, Chile. You can go as far east to China, and you can go on and on. You can go to Cuba. In any country you go, you will find somebody that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I'm glad that he saved others. When I got saved 41 years ago, I remember I went to the altar and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he came and he changed my life. And I will never forget that day when I got up from my knees and for the first time I felt clean. Something took place in my life. The Lord completely changed me. And then I look around and I saw about 5 other persons getting saved. And that very moment when the Lord saved me, I found out that he had saved others. He was able to save others.
Amen.
What a savior. What a joy for me, Brother Cem, is to go to any country, to the mountains, to the fishing villages, to big cities, to small cities, to any place, to jails, to the prisons, and be able to go and preach the gospel of Christ, knowing that I will come back saying, he saved others. I know I'm not a great preacher, but I preach a great Savior. And oh, what a Savior is mine. And as long as I keep preaching Christ, he will save others. I went to Spain, and I took my wife and one of my daughters here with me. And I remember when I went to Spain, several friends told me, to say, don't go to Spain. The Spaniards are very proud, arrogant. They will not listen to you. They will not hear you. As a matter of fact, they will make fun of your Spanish. And I remember, it seems like everybody was trying to discourage me. And I remember we went to a couple of churches and that asked us to come because they wanted to raise funds so we can go to Spain and preach it. And so I remember that the more people I met that knew something about Spain, all they told me the same thing. Don't go to Spain. You're gonna waste your time. And I remember I say one thing. I say, I don't know the Spaniards that well, but I know my Savior that well.
Amen.
And I know he's mighty to save.
Yes.
He can if he save me, he can save anybody.
Amen.
If he save me, he can save anybody.
Amen.
And I remember we finally flew to Spain, and when we got there, a missionary had been there about 9 years, went to pick us up in the airport, and guess what? He told me the same thing. And it seems like he wanted to discourage me. And I didn't insult him, I just kept it to myself. And as he kept saying, talking about how difficult it is, in my inside I kept saying, yeah, but I know my Lord.
Amen.
I know my Lord.
Yes.
And then I remember before we went, we prayed, and I say, Lord, I'm going to this country. My ancestors come from Spain. Our tradition comes from Spain. Our heritage comes from Spain. And Lord, I would love to see at least one Spaniard soul saved. And then I say, Lord, I promise you, I will not come back to Mexico empty-handed. I need to see at least one Spaniard come to Christ. So we began to witness and pass out invitation, gospel tracts, and nobody will listen. Nobody will get saved. 3 weeks went by and we didn't see any results. And I say, uh-oh. And then we had left our 2 children back in Mexico, my oldest boy Humberto and my daughter Angie. And I remember that when I was there, I prayed, Brother McMillan, and I say, Lord, I don't care how long it takes. I'm not going back empty-handed. I want to see at least one Spaniard to be saved. And we pray and pray. Finally, we went to a neighborhood one day and we told them that we was Mexican, and that did it. Hey, here's a Mexican coming. Everybody came, and they wanted to meet these Mexicans. And then they began to ask me about all the movies in Mexico, and Pedro Infante, Jorge Negrete, and all those singers in Mexico. And they began to talk about Mexico. And before you know it, we made friends with them. Then we had a meeting in an old theater that was abandoned. And we say, they don't want to come to the place we're meeting. We're going to get them somehow. And we had a cassette tape. CDs were not available then. And we had a cassette, homemade cassette of my wife singing. And we got one of those speakers that we put on top of a car and began to announce the meeting. Come to this old theater, we're having a meeting, and there's this Mexican artist, she's gonna be singing, there'll be no charge, and then we play my wife singing, Master of Galilee. And I mean, before you know it, that night, there was about 250 of them came. Then my wife got up and started singing, Maestro de Galilea, Master of Galilee. And when she finished, they stood up and gave her a standing ovation, asked her to sing it again. And she sang it again, sang that song 3 times. Then I presented a simple plan of salvation, and about 150 Spaniards came to Christ.
Amen.
And then from there on, we saw one after another coming to Christ. I remember when we, after a few months, we came back, and I remember I went to, it's a long story, but let me be brief. When I got to the airport in Houston, a preacher friend of mine, Brother Roy Carrizales, went to pick us up in the airport. He had a special meeting in Houston. His church was all together waiting for our coming and for us to give a report. And I remember when I saw him, I came to check his hand, and the first thing when I shook his hand, I say, Roy, he saved others.
Amen.
And that became my signature greeting. He saved others. I'm glad that my Lord is mighty to save. What a joy to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to see other people saved.
Amen.
He saved others. Wow. I got a few points. Let me run quickly through them and I'll be done. But this can be an expression of hope. He saved others. Let me tell you, when I got saved, after I got saved, I had the privilege of leading all my family to the Lord. My 5 brothers, my 2 sisters, my mom. Now everybody, every member of the family is saved. Everybody's serving the Lord. We don't even have backsliders. Well, there's one, and you're looking at him right now. But everybody is serving the Lord. And when I share this testimony, I say, why you do it? Because I want others to know that sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it takes a long time. But don't stop. Don't quit praying for your relatives. If he saved my relatives, he can save yours too. A young missionary, my brother Manuel, when he surrendered his life to go to the mission field, he surrendered his life and he said, if God used Humberto to save others, he can save me too. It can be an expression of hope. Why we sacrifice and give to missions? Because we hope the Lord will save others. We got no other business. We're in the soul winning business, seeing others come to Christ. The workers, the Christian workers, the Sunday school teachers, Saturday and visitation, Thursdays, every time we go out and witness, we have that hope that he might save others. Two more things briefly and I'm done. But this can be an expression of sadness. There are some probably here right now that know that he has saved others, but deep in their heart, they know they are not saved yet. You come to church, you see others saved, but deep in your heart, you have not surrendered your life and you are not yet saved. What a sadness to see others saved and yet you are not saved yet. But guess what? That expression of sadness can become an expression of gladness.
Amen.
If you get saved tonight, you receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior.
Amen.
I'll finish with the last one and I'm done. But this can also be an expression of tragedy. Tragedy. What a tragic expression. God forbid, but if you die without Christ, you will sink into eternity, into a devil's hell with no second chance. And many people in hell, tragically, will say, he saved others, but I'm lost for all eternity without a second chance. And I believe, I said this before and I will say it again, I believe, Brother Villarreal, the people that will suffer the most in hell will not be the Hitlers, the worst criminals. They will not suffer the most in hell. I believe that in hell, the people that will suffer the most will be the churchgoers that never got saved. Because they will have flashbacks. They will remember the days that the Holy Ghost of God spoke to their hearts, but somehow they will not surrender. They will remember the days when God humbled himself so much that he even brought a Mexican with a broken English to tell you, please don't go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary. You can go to heaven. You can be saved. But in hell, they will have flashbacks and they will remember the days they were sitting in the pew and the Holy Ghost of God brought conviction. But somehow they hardened their hearts and will not surrender because of pride or because any other reason. He saved others. I'm going to turn the pulpit over to our preacher. And again, preacher, thank you for the great blessing you have been to us, and many people, others have been saved because the ministry of this church. May God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, preacher.
Amen.